Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hashtag Fish Life podcast. I am Tracy. I am your guide through this podcast, if you will. Today I'm rocking alone, so no guest speakers, no guest anything. I'd like to thank everybody who is tuning in from all different platforms. It really means a lot to me that you're taking the time out of your day to listen to what I have to say. I know a lot of times podcasts can be really entertaining and sometimes they fall flat, and I'm really hoping that I have more that are entertaining than flat. So we're still in July and we are talking about self-care, how we do it, why we do it, and how we teach our kids. So last week you might remember that I interviewed my 11-year-old and 13-year-old daughter regarding their feelings on self-care and how to recognize when they need to do it. But then I spoke with one of my friends, Elisa, who was instrumental in helping me to really get the podcast off the ground. She urged me to go ahead and do this. She also gave me a lot of great ideas for podcast topics. So we spoke on, I think it was Tuesday we were speaking, and we were talking about how difficult it is for her to listen because she just wants to interact. So I'm hoping that one of these days I'll be able to get her on here with me, because I think that would be fantastic. But the thing that she brought up the most about last week's podcast is, what about the pieces of self-care that we do begrudgingly, or things we know we need to do for ourselves, but we really hate doing them, even though they pay off in the long run? And she mentioned skincare. I've never had a skincare routine. Even when I had horrible skin in my teens, I had awful acne. I had it all over my face. I did have it on my back. I had it on my arms. I was just the stereotypical teenage girl at 13, 14, 15 that just had this horrible, horrible skin. And I never did anything about it. I did medicine here and there, but I never did anything that was genuinely a routine. I never worried about washing my skin every night. Now I'm a completely different person. I still don't have a skincare regimen, but I do shower like 8 times a day. That might be a bit of an exaggeration, but at least once or twice every day I have to shower. So at that point, I just use the bar soap that's in the shower. I don't really do anything fancy to my skin. In fact, it feels really weird when I do stuff that's fancy. Pardon me. Excuse me. For example, I'm actually wearing makeup today. I have an appointment this morning, and it feels very odd to have makeup on. I don't typically do this. Now, the other thing I will say is I'll probably not wash it off my face. So I really ought to, but I don't do it because it just takes so much time, and I don't really feel up to it sometimes, and you know, but those are excuses as to why I don't do it. But what are some other things that you do that you know you need to do, but you just don't want to? Excuse me. As far as self-care goes, I think haircuts are another thing that we do. Even though sometimes we know we don't need to, or we don't want to, because it just takes some time out of your life. And there are other things you'd be doing. I think self-care in general, excuse me, can be very difficult because it indicates that we need to put ourselves first, that we are the priority. And a lot of times we don't want to put ourselves first. We spend so much time giving to other people throughout the day, especially if you work in the service industry. You're continuously giving to other people. And so it's ingrained in you that you're not the first priority. When you work in service, specifically food service or retail, excuse me, guys, I'm trying to get this frog out of my throat. When you work in those two specific subsets of customer service, you are absolutely not the first priority. And if you've done it for years like I had, I have 20 years food service, just under 20 years food service, and some of that was in the retail food service, and others were just regular restaurant food service. But before that, I had retail customer service experience, including call centers, stores at the mall, things like that. But after a while, you just realize that you're not the top priority. The company always says customer first, or you know, you get it in your head that the customer's always right, so you don't really take the time for yourself. And I think a lot of us in the service industry, You know, women in the service industry, you're not supposed to wear a lot of makeup. You're not supposed to wear, at least food service, you're not supposed to have your nails done. You're not supposed to wear tons of perfume. There are actual rules about this. And so those of us that have been in food service for so long, we just kind of adhere to those rules outside of work. You know, it's very common for women in the food service industry to not be very frilly. But I say frilly with a love and an adoration that's not like, really, look at her. But I say that as, you know, we are kind of encouraged to be masculine in the food service industry. You know, especially if you're in a kitchen full of men and you're the only woman. I have found in many kitchens, when I am the only female on the line, that I kind of have to male myself down. And that sounds very derogatory, but I consider it adapting. You have to kind of get into your environment. And yeah, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of negative conduct that goes along with that. You know, there's a lot of cursing, there's a lot of, you know, bashing, and, you know, but it's all playful. But you really, if you look more feminine, in that setting, you can't be taken seriously a lot of times. So for me to say I walk into your neighborhood bar and grill chain, and I'm the only girl in the line in the back, and I'm sweating my butt off for 14 hours on a double, I don't care if my hair looks good. I don't care if I got sweat dripping in my eyes. I don't want to worry about whether or not I chipped a nail. I don't want to worry about whether or not my makeup is running. I don't want to deal with that. And so when you work in a situation like I did for so many years, you just kind of forget that that's a priority. And it never really was for me. I think I'm just kind of a non-traditional when it comes to makeup and things like that. But I've never really cared about that until a few years ago when I lost all my hair, from chemotherapy, and I lost my eyebrows, and I lost this ability to have a choice over things to take care of. And then it became really important to me, about my hair and sometimes the way my face looked, and, getting my nails done was this huge thing that I had never really cared about. I would do it here and there, hit or miss. Like if I had an event, I would get them done, or, when I did wedding coordinating, I would get them done, go get a set of nails for, a couple events here and there. But I never really cared. It wasn't a big deal. Now I grew up with a mom that was, she's had her nails done for as long as I can remember. She goes and gets her hair cut. She's very much into makeup, and that's just not my persona. So it was a weird dynamic in our house because she was willing to teach me these things, but I just didn't care. So a few years ago, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, stage 3C, and I knew that there was going to be a long road ahead, but I think the thing that bothered me the most was actually knowing I was going to lose my hair. But what I did beforehand was I took time to kind of dive into me. And the first thing I said when I found out that I was going to lose my hair was, I want to dye it. I want to dye it teal. Now, I've always dyed my hair. It's just, you know, since I was like 16 or 17. Not even a question. That's one of my favorite things in the world to do. And I guess that's considered self-care. But when I knew I was going to lose my hair, I wanted to be bold. And so not only did I dye my hair teal, and I mean bright teal, like, you know, teal. But my daughter and one of my best friends talked me into doing my eyebrows too, because we knew they were going to go. So once I finally did lose my hair, I got into this kind of emotional state because I no longer had a choice whether or not I was going to do my hair or if it was going to look good, because there was nothing to worry about. And, you know, I still shampooed my head because you're just so used to doing shampoo in the shower. You know, I wasn't mentally prepared for that, I guess. But once my hair started growing back, I couldn't wait to dye it different colors. And I couldn't wait to learn. It's very difficult to figure out where to stop blending if you're putting makeup on and you have no hair or eyebrows. Like, where do you stop? Do you just keep going? Or, you know, it's very difficult. I was fortunate enough to be included in a group called Look Good, Feel Better, which encourages female cancer patients, specifically those who are struggling with hair loss and new features, whether it's weight loss or weight gain, or, you know, just kind of figuring out who they are after cancer. But it's a makeup program, and you go in and you learn how to tie a headscarf properly, and you get like a swag bag full of amazing makeup from all these different great companies who have poured their hearts into this program. And that was a really huge deal to me, because I didn't care so much that I couldn't put on makeup right ever until I had to accentuate something. And I realized that sounds very weird. So my level of self-care actually increased after I got sick, because it became very apparent to me that I had not been putting myself first for a long time. And that created a weird atmosphere in my home, because my husband had been so accustomed to me being able to do things for the kids and do things for him and go to work and do all these great things. And now I had to focus on myself. And the self-care that I had to do was to relax and allow myself to heal and allow myself to get sick every time I had chemo. And that's a very, very difficult thing for me to do. I am the type of person that if I have downtime, I get sick very easily because my body is not accustomed to it. So when I go on vacation or, you know, I have 3 or 4 days off in a row, and I have nothing else to do, I tend to get very ill because I don't give myself the level of self-care that it deserves. So once I finally started getting my hair back, I began to dye it all these different colors, and I loved it. And then this past November in 2018, I was re-diagnosed with ovarian cancer after having been in remission for over a year. And at that point, I went through another progressive treatment of chemo, but I didn't lose my hair. And I have to tell you, I was a little disappointed because I was excited to start over again. It's kind of like this new thing. So there was a weekend where I didn't have the chance to take care of myself. I was with the kids. The little kids that we have are 6 and 3, and they're amazing. But sometimes they just don't leave you alone. And we had an entire day where it was mom this, mom that, I need this, or she's touching me, or he did this. And I couldn't even shower by myself. I couldn't take that level of care that I needed to get away from the situation I was in for the moment. My husband was at work. The older kids were there, but they had had enough of it too. And so I ended up getting out of the shower at like 3 in the afternoon because that was the only time that I had. I had this small little window to take this shower. And then as soon as I got out of the shower, a child walks through the bathroom door. I didn't even get a chance to fully wrap the towel. And I've got a kid in the room with me. And I said, you know what? I'm not even going to do this anymore. So I shaved my head because I thought, okay, that's one less thing I have to do. I was willing to sacrifice my hair because my children needed me more. I was willing to sacrifice a step of self-care for myself, which was taking care of my hair and having this newfound appreciation for my hair, because it would make it easier for me to take care of someone else. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we, especially, and I don't want to stereotype this, but there are roles that women have that men don't have to deal with. And it's not just being a caregiver, because there are a lot of men that step up and are caregivers. But as a mom, there's a certain amount of demand that is put on us. And, you know, whether it's not even being able to pee by yourself, or getting walked in on in the middle of getting dressed, or, you know, if you think you're having a quiet morning and they're sleeping, and then all of a sudden you turn around and you trip over a toddler because they're so quiet and sneaky and ninja-like, there's a level that we deal with on a regular basis. Anytime you are the primary caregiver of anyone, you are in demand 28 hours a day. You know, 25/8 instead of 24/7. You are on all the time. And for me to say shaving my head was easier to take care of my kids, That's not self-care. That's reverse, right? But in the long run, I'm able to kind of go about things easier. So in a long run way, it really was self-care for me, because it's one less thing I have to worry about. I can shower in 5 minutes. It's a lot less difficult. So some of the things that we have to do that we really don't want to do in the now make up for it in the long run. Let's talk about paying bills. Paying bills, we got to pay them in the now. We hate doing it. Some weeks it leaves us with $50, right? You know, before the next paycheck. But in the now, it sucks. In the long run, you don't go into bankruptcy. You don't go into foreclosure. You know, you're able to provide for your kids. You're able to show your kids how to appropriately manage money. You know, there are things that pay off in the long run. So this week I'm asking you to think about things that you do that you may not love to do, but you know that they're good for you. You know, maybe that means it's been a really long day and your feet hurt from being on them all day, but you know that you need to take a 30-minute walk. Or going one lap around the block, maybe taking a couple of minutes to go to the swim club and go in the lap lane for a half an hour. Whether it's putting back the bottle of wine after you've had two, because you know three is just going to make you groggy in the morning. Or, you know, if it's something simple like just knowing that you got to brush your teeth tonight because, you know, and I know that sounds gross, but there are a lot of times when people are just exhausted and they just don't go brush their teeth before they go to bed. But knowing that if you do, you could be saving yourself a whole bunch of money by not having a cavity, right? So there are things that we do now that we hate to do that pay off for us in the long run. So think about that this week. Think about all the things that you really hate to do, but you know in the long run they're better for everything. So that is what I'm asking for this week. If you have any comments about what to do for next week's episode, next week is still going to be doing, remember July is the entire month is self-care, how, why, and how to teach our girls. And I want you to kind of jump on board with this. I want you to think about what you need to do for self-care, why you need to do it, and how to teach somebody else to do it. Doesn't have to be daughters. Doesn't have to be children. It can be anybody in your life that you notice that needs self-care. We have a friend whose mother recently passed, and she has been the primary caregiver for both her mother and father for as long as I've known her, and longer. And, you know, this is going to be a very difficult thing for her to swallow. And I hope that she's able to find peace in a newfound sense of self through all of the grieving that she's obviously going to be doing. But, you know, a lot of times we just put aside our own selves for other people. So this week I'm asking you to find something, just one day. It doesn't even have to be the whole day, 5-10 minutes. Find something that you know you need to do that you really, really hate to do. But I want you to do it, and I want you to know that you're doing something for yourself in the future too. It pays off then. And then also remember that saying, man, I have to versus I get to. That's a huge mind change, right? It's kind of like when we talked about taking the word no out of your vocabulary. It's all about switching up the way you say things so that it sounds more exciting. If you can trick your brain into being excited about something, I really encourage you to do that. So thank you so much for listening this morning or this afternoon or this evening, whatever, you know, wherever this falls into your day. I do a lot of my recording during the morning, so a lot of times I use that time frame when I speak, so I apologize. I really appreciate everyone who's still tuning in. Last week was a little bit of a lull. It might not have been as exciting. We're going to get back into more exciting topics come August. August is a lot of back to school, and a lot of us are dealing with that. I do not have my topic card in front of me, but I know August is not this topic. The one thing I do ask every time I sign off of a podcast is that you put a smile on somebody else's face, and you make sure you put one on yourself, because you never know when someone's really going to need it. And sometimes just holding the door for someone can really, really make their day. Thanks again for listening. Have a fantastic week. I will talk to you soon. please, please make sure you give yourself some time this week for self-care. Make sure that you are including others in that. And remember that you get to do something. You don't have to do something. All right. Thanks again for listening to the hashtag Fish Life podcast here on Anchor. And I hope you have a fantastic rest of your week. Bye.